much. Last night I was just studying away, trying to just make sure I have all the. It takes me so many hours to put a message together, and even then I find myself not even using my notes half the time. Amen. Just because I just feel it get in my heart. I can't preach anything I don't feel in my heart. You know, some people can talk from head knowledge all day long, and they know all these facts. Look, I'm not one of those guys. If I don't feel it, I can't preach it. So sometimes, I know I've had somebody tell me before, well, you're more emotional than some. Well, that's fine. I'm just the way I am. It's just me. I have to preach the way I preach. Amen. And I've had them say before, you know, I had somebody say one time that so-and-so plays honky-tonkish. They were referring to some friends of mine. I said, I never know. I've never been in one. I don't know anything about that. I don't focus on that. But I do focus on this. Jesus Christ is the Savior. It's Christmas. I'm glad everything He's done is important to me. I'm glad about that. Amen. God's so good. Matthew 1:21. We're going to preach with the Holy Ghost and His help. And like I said, we're just going to preach just the way God has given it to us. And when you get there, give me a good amen. Amen. Matthew 1:21. Just one verse of Scripture. It says this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Is your Bible capital letters on that? Amen. Rightfully so. Shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's read it together. That one verse. Let's start right now. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to his word and to the preaching this morning. There's an old play, and many of you ever heard of Romeo and Juliet? Now, I don't agree with the Romeo and Juliet theology at all. And William Shakespeare, I'm pretty sure he needed to get born again, if I know anything about him. But, you know, people committing suicide and all this stuff we read about is not good. But in that play of Romeo and Juliet, there's this famous question. And this is what it says. It says, what is in a name? That old saying, that old quote there, Juliet went to say, on after that, Romeo asked the famous question, what is in a name? And Juliet went on to say that a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. Rename it as you will, a rose will retain its beauty and its fragrance, even if you were to change its name. Pretty much saying that a name is not that much to focus on, or a name does not hold maybe that much water. Maybe a name is just a name. Today, if my name was Brian instead of Derek, what she was trying to say was this, is that Derek would still, even if his name was Brian, he would still look the same and probably act the same. But when we come to the name of Jesus Christ, we must point out that even though the name of Jesus is just a collection of letters from the alphabet, we know today there's just 5 letters in the English alphabet, but as the old gospel song phrased it, there's just something about that name. Amen. There's something different when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ. The name, we really have to understand today that a name does not provide you with too much but a title. Today my name is Derek. And when you look that name up, why, that name means a ruler or a leader. And I know I'm not the best or the brightest ruler in the world, you know, but that's what it means. It means a ruler. And everybody here today, your name has some sort of meaning or a meaning to somebody. But when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ, we could say, look, yeah, his name is Jesus and that is it. But we have to understand Jesus did something, or Jesus Christ did something when he took on that name. He completely embodied that name to its fullness. He took the name of Jesus, and if you don't mind me saying it this way, he took that name, and that name has never been the same ever since. There's been a lot of different Derricks in this world, and look, I'm sure a lot of them have a lot of different qualities. But I can say today, I've never really changed the name of Derek in this world. There's some people, you give them a name, such like George Washington. And instantly when you say George Washington, you think of that president. Because George Washington at that time in his life, he did something to that name that affected that name forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever since, people are going to look back and say, George Washington was this president. Hear me today, friend. I want you to understand this when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ. of all of the titles and designations for Jesus that are given in the Scripture, 700 of them are given by some counts. Jesus is the one we use the most. It is the one we invoke in prayer. It is the one the world recognizes. There is certainly power in the name of Jesus. There's comfort in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. There is just something about that name. We know when you read the Bible, I typed it in. I was studying the other day and just simply typed Jesus in a Bible software program. And that name Jesus came up 942 times in our Bible. I believe God was trying to show us something. There's something about the name Jesus Christ. There is something different in this whole entire world. When you say the name of Jesus, there is something very special about it. Now, before I get too far into my message, we must understand today the history of the name of Jesus. At the time of His birth, the name of Jesus was in no ways unique. In fact, it was a popular name in the Jewish culture among the young boys, because you would understand that name with that word Jesus, which is translated to Joshua, Yeshua. It simply means Jehovah saves or God saves. It was a very popular name in the time that Jesus Christ was alive. And it recalled a great leader of Israel who succeeded Moses, Joshua. It was pretty much naming. When a Jewish man was to name his son Jesus, he was pretty much naming him after Joshua in the Old Testament. But hear me today, friend. I want you to understand this. That name Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, or God saves, call it what you want. When the name of Jesus was given to Jesus Christ, it completely changed it forever. There was something unique about Jesus Christ. During the lifetime of Jesus, during the lifetime of Christ, the name of Jesus maintained its popularity until a few years after His death and resurrection. Then all of a sudden, the name of Jesus began to disappear from history and census. And understand this. Why? Because it had taken on a brand new and controversial meaning. Christians believe, you would understand, after Jesus died and was resurrected, every Christian would not dare name their son Jesus, because they knew their son was not worthy of that name. They knew that the name of Jesus invoked something that nobody could feel that character. Nobody can live up to that standard. Nobody can live up to that life. And the pagans didn't want to name their children Jesus. It's because of the non-believing Jewish there. They did not want to name their children Jesus because it invoked something they did not like. What I'm trying to say today is this. Like it or lump it, the name of Jesus is something different than all others. There's something that the man Jesus Christ did to that name that even today we look back at and we say, surely there is something about that name. This is still the case today. I could not imagine if my wife was to have a son, me and my wife were to have a son, I would not dare name him Jesus. Now, I know you can call them different people, child. I've heard them, they do it in different languages. But I would not even dare name my son Jesus. You say it's a sin. I wouldn't go as far to say that. But I will say this, that my son or anything of my offspring would never be worthy of that name, would never be able to live up to that name. Because hear me today, friend. Yeah, you may name your son after George Washington, but George Washington is in the grave today. You may name your son after Abraham Lincoln, but Abraham Lincoln's in the grave today. You may find a hero of this world to have accolades and have all these doctrines and ideas, but hear me today, friend, something's going to happen. They were born of a woman, they have failures and frailties and faults in their lives, and one day they're going to go to the grave and they're going to become dust again. But hear me today, friend, there's something about this name Jesus that I do not even feel worthy to try to say it in vain. I don't even feel worthy to take it aside and try to do something with it, because He was perfect, He was flawless, and He was perfect and holy. And there's something about that name, Jesus Christ. Now, I know some parents think their children should be named Jesus. Perfect children, you know. My grandma, she always said, everybody think their dove is the whitest. You know, everybody's kids, they think it's perfect to an extent. But I don't care how perfect you think little Johnny is or little Susie is. I promise you, you can live with them. You'll find their faults. You wait till they become teenagers. You're going to see something about them, something inside of them, because they are not perfect. And I even know some people who think they should probably be Jesus. You know, never have issues, never have frailties, never have problems, never have a battle, never sinned. You know, oh God, me?
can place you beside the Son of God. He'll make you look like an Eminem. He'll make you look like nothing. He'll make you look like dust and ashes. I could take the most holiest man. You take Buddha idol, or you take Buddha or Muhammad, set him beside my Savior. He makes them look like filthy rags. You take the most holiest preacher you think you've ever met in your whole life. You take the man or woman that this world idolizes. You set him beside Jesus Christ. He makes them look like nothing but dirt, because Jesus lived above everything in this world, and there's never been another man like Jesus. I could talk to your enemies and they'll find something wrong about you. Talk to the enemies of Jesus. They can't do nothing but make up lies. They say, if you really want to know a man, just talk to his wife. Amen. She'll tell you if his tongue is loose or not occasionally. Even if he is saved. She'll tell you if there's ever a fault in him. She'll tell you if he ever worries. She'll tell you if he ever disbelieves. She'll tell you all about him. And if you want to know a woman, talk to her husband. He can tell you a little something about her because he is around that person all of the time. What I'm trying to say is this. If Jesus had a wife, he never did. But if he had a wife, she couldn't find nothing wrong with him, because Mary even herself would have to testify that that little boy was perfect. That little boy was blameless. Hear me today, friend. What I'm trying to say is, when Jesus Christ, when the Messiah was given the name Jesus, he embodied that name to the fullness. To everybody in this room today has to understand, there are no imperfections. There is nothing wrong with him. There is something about Jesus that is different than every other human. Talk to anybody about Jesus. They may not like him, but they're going to have to try to put together some sort of false evidence to find anything wrong with him. I want you to get this today. So yes, it's still the case today. Nobody is worthy of that name. Nobody is worthy of that name. But then we have some people, just like the heathens of that time. The heathens quit naming their children Jesus, or the unbelieving Jews. It's because they wanted to avoid that name because of what it meant. You would tell you why some people don't come to church? It ain't because of you. They just don't like what Jesus represents. Oh, they like forgiveness and lollipop and candy, and they love Jesus when he sounds like Santa Claus. But my God, what about a Jesus that says, take up your cross and follow me? What about a Savior that will lead you down the paths of righteousness, will lead you through chastisements, will lead you through battles and everything? Hear me today, friend. That word in the Bible, Jesus, has so much significance to it. It doesn't matter who you are today. You either like the name of Jesus and reverence it, or you completely try to avoid it. You try to get rid of it. You try to stomp it out. Hear me today, friend. It's something about that name that brings conviction and holiness even into a room. Me and my cousin, I'm not going to name him, but years ago, we were both backslid. We were both on drugs. And I remember one night we were doing ecstasy and popping methadone pills at the same time. We were drunk. And I remembered every time he would get messed up on drugs, he'd want to talk about Jesus. And that's the only person I didn't want to talk about. He would say, you know we're lost. I said, yes, I know we're lost. He'll say, you know, Granddaddy said, I said, I know what Granddaddy said. And he would get to crying under conviction. I would have to leave the room. You know, he would tell you what ruined the good time I thought in the world is when somebody began to talk about the Lord. What was it? It was something about the name. It just all of a sudden, it jolts my attention. It makes me begin to ponder. It makes me begin to think and wonder. My Lord, there's one that he has mentioned that is holy, and his eyes are upon me even today. Now, when we think about the name of Jesus, we must understand a few things. Whose idea was it to call the child Jesus that was born in that manger? The Word came from God Himself. Like any other father, He wanted to name the child. Joseph was asleep that one night. We read in our text, the Lord gives him that dream there. That angel came to him, giving Joseph assurance and encouragement and instruction. Joseph was coping with the shock of finding his fiancée, expecting by the Word of the Lord. And this is what I read to you in Matthew 1 and 21. And she said, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hear me today, friend. This angel came to Joseph here, and he conveyed his very specific desire of God. He was telling Joseph, look, that little baby that's going to be born, it is going to be the Son of God. Joseph, look, I want you to understand this. This is the will of God of what is happening to Mary. But there's something else I want you to understand. When he gets here, you need to learn, you need to understand this. Call his name Jesus. Jesus. What is so special about this name? We would understand that that name bore the mission statement. I told you already, Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua. That name there means God saves. God saves. God saves. That is the very mission statement that Jesus came to this world with. If you were trying to hear me today, friend, if there was something in this world, say all of a sudden, you got news today that you were going to die tonight. And you only left a few words to leave your children and your family. Look, I'm just saying, if you only had a few words, if you were limited to that amount of words, you would say, given two words. I'm telling you, friend, you could say a lot of things maybe to encourage. But I'm telling you, if you were going to die tonight and you were left with only two words, how careful would you be with your words? But let me suggest to you, you could never be any better than saying the words God saves or Jesus Christ, representing who it is. If my life is only a testimony of that, then you have lived a very full life. It's amazing what human beings will chase in this world. You know, I was raised that we weren't a college-minded family. I wish we were in some sense. But you know, my daddy's worked asphalt and put down roads his whole entire life. So I assumed I'll put down roads my life. You know, I started working with him a little bit. And I figured out, I've got to get out of here. This ain't my type work. Then I was on a pipe fitting crew. I worked on that for a good little bit, learning to put pipes and drainage down, and thought I'd do that for a while. And I got a little bored with that. And I said, I can't do this in my life. I'll die by the time I'm 30. And then I joined the grain industry. Then I started working for the state and began to be a grain inspector. Kind of liked it. You know, wasn't too bad of a job. Good pay. Gave you a state truck and all that. I really liked that job. But then, you know, you get called to preach and it changes everything. And I've learned that there's a lot of things you can chase in this world. Somebody said, I want my daughter to be a doctor. I want my son to be this. If we can make sure they get into university so-and-so and have the right this academics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that'd be a wonderful thing. Or I want my son to be the president of the United States. I want my daughter to be a singer. I want my daughter to be an actress. You have people in America that try to live, or even tell kids, that try teenagers, adults, that try to fulfill so many different things. But let me tell you today, if you're establishing anything in your heart, a life of fulfillment, let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus Christ. Saved you probably a lot of money right there. You get that right first and everything else comes together. It's not the idea, I hope they find it up the road. My God, you've missed it. Backtrack, repent, and get it over with and start over. It's Jesus Christ. He is the words of fulfillment. If Jesus Christ is not the master of your life, if He's not sitting on the throne of your heart, you've missed it. You've got to understand. I had to. All of us had to adult. You could be old here today, older citizen, senior citizen today. Guess what? Backtrack and get it right. Jesus Christ is the answer to a very fulfilled life. It is no accident that our Heavenly Father chose the name Jesus for His Son. It's just what somebody even needs this morning. Understand that Jesus is the one you need to call on. Now think about this. I want you to hear me. Because there are three reasons I'm going to go over why God chose to name His Son Jesus. Three reasons, and there's many more, but this is only the time we have today. I know that as a pastor, you're limited. I can't preach for 2 hours tonight, until this morning. I can't do it. I'd like to get over all of this, but hear me. Point number one is this. God chose the name Jesus because it had past significance. It had past significance. Jesus, I told you, is just a Greek equivalent of Joshua. We would understand that instantly that ties the mind back to the Old Testament. We know that Joshua was the one who led the children of Israel into the promised land. He has sent their essential legacy after many years of slavery and grief and rootless wandering. That man, Joshua in the Old Testament, was the one that came after Moses to lead the children of Israel. So what I gather in my mind is this. When God chose the name Jesus for His Son, for the Messiah, for the Son of God, He already recognized that Joshua represented past significance. It was somebody in the Old Testament. Joshua was the one who brought the children of Israel through the River Jordan. He was the one that led them over Jordan to defeat 31 hostile empires and nations. He began to fight against the enemy. Jericho walls knocking down. The enemy falling at his foot, there at his feet. I'm telling you, Joshua was a great man. But my Lord, Joshua was pretty good. He don't hold a candle to Jesus. I'm sure, now hear me. I'm sure when Jesus first came into this world, say if Jesus was just a young boy, when somebody looked at Jesus and they said that name, they would think, well, Joshua. But after Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, when you said the word Jesus, I don't ever think of Joshua, do you? Who's Joshua next to Jesus? Joshua did not live up to the name as much as Jesus did. I just pictured in my mind like this. Jesus saying, excuse me, Joshua, this is my name from now on. You can't have it. He did something to the name. But just like Joshua led an attack against 31 hostile empires, I'm telling you, Jesus also. Remember now, Joshua, he was the one, him and Israel went through the Jordan River after it split. But you remember, where did Jesus get baptized at? The Jordan. There's significance in this. Not only did Joshua lead an attack against 31 hostile empires, but my word, Jesus Christ won't no sissy. You're talking about a warrior. You're talking about one that is ready for battle. Jesus was no timid, weak man. He was relentless in His mission to do the will of God and to destroy the works of darkness. I remember one time I was preaching in a prison. And I looked around and these men, boy, they were tatted up. They were buff. I mean, they were just ready. You could tell. They just the toughest thing that ever walked in. Some of them committed crimes. They didn't feel bad about it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was nervous. Until I got to praying. I got to praying and I felt the boldness of the Holy Ghost rise up in me. And I felt like I was 10 foot tall. I didn't even see another tattoo or teardrop coming down. You know, tattoo, teardrop, supposed to mean you killed somebody, I heard. I didn't even think about that. And God gave me a simple message, and I went up there and preached a message like this. You think you're a man? Jesus was a man. You've got to put tattoos on to try to prove yourself. My Messiah didn't have to do none of that. Jesus was no sissy. I watched and seen with some of those big buff men who thought they were the toughest thing. I watched as the Holy Ghost melted some of their hearts. I watched as the presence of Christ come into a room and they come in contact with something that was bigger than them, that was greater than them, that had more strength than them, because Jesus was in the room and He was more man than all of them. I could gather every man in this room today. Nobody in this room, you don't hold a candle to Jesus. Jesus came into this world as the Psalms 24:8 says this, who is thy King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, and the Lord mighty for battle. Colossians 2:15 says this, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Notice that when Jesus came to this world, He didn't come to play patty cake. He came and destroyed the works of darkness. Just imagine Joshua in the Old Testament walking in. Walking around Jericho walls and all of them falling. But just imagine Jesus in the New Testament. There was something about Him. Notice in Colossians, and it said having spoiled principalities. That word spoiled there means stripping them completely, disarming them. It was like taking candy from a baby. Jesus and devils, there is no competition. Hello? None. Zilch. Take your problem. Anybody ever had a problem in life? Okay, I heard amen. I'll take them. Take your biggest problem. And you knew, you looked at yourself as an individual. You begin to research your resources. You looked at yourself. You looked on the inside. You looked at the out. You looked everywhere. You called who you knew to call. And you eventually came to the conclusion, this is too much for me. Not for Jesus. Think about that. Take every problem in this room. It still does nothing for Jesus. Notice this in heaven, spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them. He completely disarmed the enemy. And notice this, it goes on to say this. He made a show of them openly. He made a show of them. He put the enemy on exhibit to make a show of them. Oh my, I don't know if you heard that. Let me put it in North Carolina terms. Jesus came to the world. He smacked the devil upside the head. He hung them up to dry. And everybody could come by and laugh at them. That's what He did. He made a show of them openly. And when I said that, of course, that's in a spiritual sense. But it says triumphing over them. Can you just picture this in your mind? Just picture Satan trying to do everything he can to prevent the Messiah from coming and accomplishing the will of God. He stirs up Herod at his birth to try to kill him. You'll read through the life of Jesus. There was even times people tried to throw Jesus off the side of a hill, but they couldn't touch him. And let me lay it this way. The devil never was able to touch him. Jesus laid his life down freely. The devil never got the upper hand and defeated our Savior. Jesus laid there and said, go ahead. Goody, goody, devil. Do whatever you can. I am the Son of God. I am the Word. I am the Yeshua. I am the Messiah. I am the one that's fulfilling the name of Jesus. Now imagine this. Even watch the authority of Jesus over devil and demons. We will know in the wilderness after Jesus had fasted 40 days. We know the devil came to Him and began to tempt Him. At the end of that temptation, Jesus said this. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is not written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. They won't even argument. Devil, leave. Yes, sir. Devil, leave me alone. I'm going to tell you, cross the line. I've let you come but so far. But when the Lord said to him, He said, get thee hence, the devil leaveth in the very next verse. Even when you look in the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus would walk into a room and unclean spirits, when they saw Him, fell down and before Him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. Hallelujah. Walking into a room and the demons are saying, oh no, He's here. My God, give the church the power again. Will you lost sons and daughters walk in a building and instantly arrested by the presence of God? I felt that in my heart. I want little so-and-so say, pray up, mama. Pray up, daddy. Watch it happen. Get full of Christ and watch something change. I'm not apologizing for saying that. I mean it. I believe our homes can be so full of the conviction of the Holy Ghost instantly. Somebody walks in, they feel the peace of God, or they'll feel the conviction of God. The peace of God or the conviction. Our churches have to be in the same health. If not, we're just spinning tires, we're intellectual, we're formal, and we're dead if that's the case. Oh my, hear me today, friend. Even when it came to Legion in Matthew 8:29, and behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? I don't even find Jesus making an introduction there. He steps off the boat, the demons come running and say, that's Jesus, right there. He's a celebrity in the spiritual world. They knew who He was. The devil knew who He was. And notice this in 8:32, when He comes to dealing with these demons, and He said unto them, go. You hear that? I've watched preachers wrestling with demons in an altar, had to get them in headlocks and had to get five people over there and hold them by their legs and hold them by their head and try to do everything they can to try to hold them down. Jesus looked at them and said, hey, scat, go, now, leave. Come. That's called the power of the Holy Ghost in Christ. That's Christ. And I'm not saying this, God, I've shared this testimony here before, but God did something for me one time in Africa, and I felt like it was other times, but this time it was so prevalent in my heart and life. I told it before. I went in that service, and this was nothing to do with me. God knows it was all the Holy Ghost, and I felt like it when I left there. I didn't feel like bragging. I felt like praying. told you, went in there and that demon-possessed girl's laying on that floor, breathing, vomiting. I mean, eyes rolling back in her head. They were tying her hands and her legs up. I sat there and I prayed. I said, oh God, I watched for 15 minutes as so-called preachers and those that sat there and wrestled until the Holy Ghost came. I got down in that old dirt floor. All I said was this, God be my witness, in the name of Jesus, after I felt the authority of the Holy Ghost, I said, in the name of Jesus, and I watched that girl read there. I watched his color came back to her face. I watched his sanity came back into her life. What was it? Was it Derek Jones? Was it a preacher in the room? No. You missed it already. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He was the one that did it. That girl got up from that floor. They gave her the microphone. She kept saying, Yesu! Yesu! And saying Jesus. She was saying Jesus. And I come to find out, I told you before, that girl walked in that service. She was deaf and dumb, could not talk and could not hear. But she left the service at the name of Jesus, restored and healed and made whole. Who was it? It was a man named Jesus. It would do us good for the demon-possessed to storm our church to show you how powerless some really are. And I have prayed and asked the Holy Ghost for direction, even for this church, and I felt God reach out into my heart and give me the word. Until you reach out, you will not experience it. The reason we don't see the power sometimes is because we're afraid to deal with those that really have need of the power. The sick need a physician. Those that are made whole, they don't need... Look, and most likely they most in this room, you have knowledge of Jesus. You know about the great physician. You can't tell somebody that's already whole. They need healing. But my God, if we have them come in, and we can tell them there's a man named Jesus, and we can pray and fast and seek the will of God and watch it come to pass, you'd be surprised how much we'll get to seeking. You see, you'd be surprised how much you realize I need the Holy Ghost. And those that have the Holy Ghost, you realize I need more of it. My God, help us here today. That name of Jesus, there is power in that name. Notice this. And Jesus gave unto the 70 the power to do this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through what? Thy name. Thy name, they're subject unto us. You'll find in Acts 19 and 15, and the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? I ain't heard of you yet. I know Jesus. And I know Paul because he knows Jesus. Wouldn't it be something, my God, hear me today, church. Wouldn't it be something once again the devil would know us just because we're associated with that name? And when we go into the presence of sin, when we go into the presence of sickness, all of a sudden the imps of hell or anything that's trying to fight against the church would recognize, I know they are a servant and a son of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at this, the power of His name. Second point is this. First point was this. It had past significance, Joshua. Point two is this, and we're not preaching tonight, so I'll finish this. Point two is this. God chose a name that was very common in that time. The name Jesus was very common among the Jews. One writer said that it would not have been strange to walk into a classroom at that time and find maybe two or three boys named Jesus in almost every classroom. It was that common. Josephus, the Jewish historian, mentions 20 different men by the name of Jesus in his writings. Hear me today, friend. In every way, the mission of Jesus was to identify with people of all kinds. He was a Savior to all people. It doesn't matter who you are today. If you'll call out to Him, He's your Savior. You can say, well, Brother Derek, I wasn't raised in church. He's still your Savior. Oh, I was raised in church. He's your Savior. It doesn't matter. He is somebody that can be reached and touched by anybody. People at that time looked for someone bigger than life. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they expected a conqueror, a Samson or a Solomon, someone they could crown and display. They did not expect a peasant, a village carpenter, clothed in humility and servanthood. That's why they miss Jesus. And I dare say that's why many miss Him in America. A lot of people don't get born again because they don't know this Jesus I'm talking about. They have an idea. They heard something on the radio or seen something somewhere and say, I'm saved. That's Jesus right there. I love Him. This Jesus I'm talking about ain't no sissy. He don't fit in your pocket. This Savior is the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. You come in any other way, the Bible says you're a thief. You're a robber if you come in the other way. You're going to come through the biblical Jesus, or you're going to backtrack and realize you had it wrong from the very foundation. Cotton candy Jesus. You know, He's just so sweet to us. God's so good at it. He is. He's good all the time. God is good. He's good to me. He's good yesterday, today, and forever. But He's also the Lord of my life, and He helps me make the decisions I need to make even when I don't want to make them. Amen. He compels me to go when I would rather stay. He does all these things to us because He is the Lord of our life. Notice this today. Philippians 2 and 5 says this, let this mind be in you who was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, being found in the fashion as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. That's Jesus, and that should be you. Don't try to make a name. Let me tell you one of the things that bother me evangelizing. All the preachers that want a name. All the preachers that want this and want that. They don't want Christ. They want a name. They want an established ministry. They want this. But I'm telling you, our Jesus was lonely. He came down from glory. He was touchable. He was approachable. He was reachable. Those who walked with Him did not have to call Him by some sophisticated title. He was simply the name Jesus. When we think of this, when God sent forth His Son, guess what? He was in a human body. Thank you, Lord. The tongue that called forth the dead, it was a human tongue. He was human. The very Savior, the hand that touched the leper, one writer said, might have had dirt underneath His fingernails. He was human. It's what He was. The feet upon which the woman wept were calloused and dusty. And notice this, in His tears. Don't miss the tears of Jesus. They came from a heart as broken as yours and mine ever has been. He was a human. He came down to your level. When I think of Jesus, one writer said this in an old poem. He said, this is just old writing. He went from commanding angels to sleeping on straw. He went from holding stars to clutching Mary's finger. When he saw the size of the wound, he could have stopped. When he saw how tiny His hand would be, how soft His voice would be, how hungry His tummy would be, he could have stopped. At the first whiff of the stinky stable, at the first gust of cool air, at the first time He scraped His knee or blew His nose or had to eat some old food, He could have turned and walked out of it. When He saw the dirt on the floor of Nazareth, of the Nazarene house, when Joseph gave Him a chore to do, when His fellow students were dozing off during the reading of the Torah that He prescribed centuries before, at any point Jesus could have said, that's it and that's enough. But He didn't. He was common just like you and I. The name Jesus was so common that the author there was another man in the Bible, another man by the name of Jesus, who was slated to be executed at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. And there was a man by the name of, you ever heard Barabbas? As writings tell us and history tells us, his name was Jesus Barabbas. Can you imagine? Study it yourself. If you got time, make it. If you don't have time, make time. Here it is, Barabbas, an extortioner, a murderer, a rebellious man who was the lowliest among the lowly. Here he is. He's sitting there in that prison. His name is Jesus Barabbas. I can just imagine as Barabbas is sitting there in that prison holding his head. He hears the footprints of the soldiers. And Barabbas says, I've already had my last meal. It's time to leave this world. Time to have no hope for me. There's no hope for me. And then all of a sudden, my friend, maybe all of a sudden he heard them footsteps getting closer and closer. Then all of a sudden he heard the key in the door, and all of a sudden the door opens. And all of a sudden a man looks at him and says, Jesus, Barabbas, you get to go free today. He says, well, who's taking my place? A man named Jesus. A man with the same name as me. We know how it happened before Pilate and all that. But bear with me here. What I'm saying is this. Jesus had such a common name that He even related with a man that was lowly. He related with a man that was at the very bottom of things. Just imagine today, Jesus of Nazareth, a name that a man who died, that even a murderer might have a Savior. His name was that common. My 2 points thus far has been this. Had past significance. My second point has been this. His name was common. My third point is this. There is meaning in the name of Jesus now and for all eternity. The name of Jesus is going to have meaning if you accept Him or not. The name of Jesus will have meaning if you're bored with Him or not. Hear me today, friend. We must think about this. Jesus said, whatsoever we ask in that name would be granted. We serve our friends and our neighbors in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no one else. God has given us no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus is the only way you can be saved. The name of Jesus is easy enough for even a child to say. You ever taught a little... Isn't it precious? I don't know if you ever... I talked to a little girl one time. I said, can you say Jesus? Can you say that? Jesus. And I get excited. Because I know now that she knows the name. If she don't remember Derek, I don't care. But she knew Jesus. When I was leaving that orphanage, and I refer to that a lot because that's where a lot of my testimonies are. When I was leaving the orphanage in Africa, we had a special service. The orphans called us up there to the front. They said, we have no silver, Brother Derek and Sister Holly. We have no gold. But we can pray for you. Then the orphans began to touch my toes and touch my knee. There were so many of them. They just wanted to touch you. And I gave one last speech to them within that little span of time. I said this. I can't stay here. I cannot be here. I can't afford to stay here. I cannot stay here. But Jesus can. And if you understand that, you have access to the greatest person in the world. I cannot be here, but Jesus can. I cannot heal you, but Jesus can. I cannot provide for you, but Jesus can. If you remember anything, remember the name of Jesus. If I could preach to a lukewarm American church world, I would like to tell them, money can't stay with you, but Jesus can. Your husband and your wife may not even understand you at times. But Jesus does. You may go to a church where you feel like, you know, you're insignificant and have no worth. But hear me today, if you call out to Jesus, He loves you. The name of Jesus, hear me today, Jesus, God saves. That term being God saves is the greatest, most powerful word humanity has ever known. It will be the final word spoken when this earth and history is finally closed. And with you and I gathered together in a better place, Jesus is still on the throne. A child can say it. Simple enough that even somebody about to say the last words from their dying lips, powerful enough that they say the word Jesus, they can be saved. Jesus. I'm about to close here. But as we look and my wife comes to the piano, I'm going to ask you a question again, what Romeo asked Juliet. What's in a name? Did Jesus, the name of Jesus, is it not the sweetest name you've ever heard? Is it not the most precious name in the whole entire world? In closing, what is in a name? When it comes to the name of Jesus, many things is in a name. When it comes to the name of Jesus, hope is in that name. Power is in that name. Authority is in that name. Courage and consolation is in that name. And guess what? There's unity in that name. As you stand to your feet, we all understand that when everything is said and done in this world, we must understand this. Old saying is, and my mind slips for the exact quote, soon this life will pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Can we gather around the front of this church and come stand today? Last service before Christmas. Make haste. Leave your seat and come around the front of this church. I'm asking you for the altar call.